Blog Talk Radio.
Black Renaissance, why go, why go, why go? Black Renaissance, why go, why go, why go? Black Renaissance, why go, why go? Black Renaissance, why go, why go, why go? It's a new summer era. We don't wanna see the heroes. We fighting against each other. It's the love that we need with one another. You understand, trust might be love. Knowing through all, keep on going. That little milestone on our shoulder. All this wisdom, we can't ignore it. Color is perfect to be justice. She hold on the stripes, sweet, sweet love him. Cross the rebels united. Black Renaissance, why go, why go, why go? Black Renaissance, why go, why go? Black Renaissance, why go, why go, why go? Gotta get on your grind, don't confuse your mind. Let that dream come true. Stop playing a fool, chatting to my soul. Praying for forgiveness, never get lost in the world of sin. That's while I'm trying my vision. Seeing knowledge is given, knowing what's been hidden. Living life, only good intentions. Not playing the victim. Standing my strength of perfection. Success is your best liquid. Becoming one of noble reflection. Positive vibration in the spirit. Turning for the moment with a blessing. Remember this lesson. Truth be told through these confessions. Why you guessing? Stop stressing. Stop stressing. Black Renaissance, why go, why go, why go? Black Renaissance, why go, why go?
Good evening, everybody. Happy Sunday. Welcome to another Indie MRL Dollhouse Radio production of Urban Society. I'm your host, James A. Jones. Well, again, good evening, and like I said, happy Sunday, and God bless. It is summertime. Right now it's June 26th. We are in like our sixth day of summer, because as you know, summer is officially June 21st. However, we've had some really nice summeric days as about the middle of May till now. We have been fortunate. Yes, we have. But I have heard that it's going to be even hotter as we go into the summertime. But like I've said before, I'm the kind of person who says, burn me up. Don't freeze me. I can stand the heat. It's cold weather I cannot stand. It's dreadful. It's painful. It's evil, even. I can say like that if I want to. Cold weather is evil. Anyway, our topics for tonight are going to be the Becky word. And the second topic will be drug addiction. And the third topic will be atheism. Yes, we're going to try to get there. After we go through our miscellaneous topics, we have a lot of time, so we have a lot of issues to go through. So with that being said, let's get right with it. Okay, the first thing I want to bring up in terms of one of our miscellaneous articles, as I call them, or subjects, topics, is something from, well, Dr. Stacy Patton, a Facebook friend of mine, concerning this recent election to be. And I love this woman. I mean, I love her intellectually speaking. I could say it like that, or what's the other word that people like to use nowadays, or not if nowadays, maybe 10, 15 years ago. What is that word? I can't think of it right now, but it's coming to the fore. Platonic, yes. I love her in like a platonic fashion, intellectually, that is. Anyway, she says this here concerning voting. She says, I'm not voting in the 2016 presidential election. You can vote shame. You can voter shame me. Just a second. She says, you can voter shame me and lecture me about how my ancestors bled and died for the vote all you want. Donald Trump is evil. Hillary Clinton is evil. There is no lesser of the two evils on the ballot. Both represent the evils of white supremacy and capitalist greed, and each one will continuous destructive reach into the lives of the poor and people of color, but with a different style. For me, to vote for this kind of evil is not a privilege that my elders and ancestors sacrificed so much for. Quite frankly, I think it's disrespectful to the legacy of their struggles to make such a suggestion. I'm in total agreement with her, in her having said what she just said there. Total agreement. And she called it voter shaming. You know how people want to say, like, if you don't vote, you know, shame on you, and or to take it further. Some people even have the audacity to say that if you don't vote, then you don't have a legitimate right to complain about what goes on in our government. I think that's asinine, totally asinine. And then a lot of people use that phrase of, well, no, more so it's a situation of, when you may be talking about politics to someone, they'll all of a sudden, up out of nowhere, put forth the question, did you vote? And that's like a trick question in a real sense, because if you say no, then that kind of person will say, well, I can't talk to you about politics, as if just because you didn't vote, then you don't even have a right to discuss political issues or social issues. That's a kind of a deflection. And it's kind of like being intellectually deceitful. I'll put it that way for lack of a better word or term. Indeed, being intellectually deceitful. And anyway, well, me, I had responded to Dr. Patton by having written as well in agreement with what she wrote. I had said, some people are going to vote for Hillary Clinton just because she's a woman. Yet many had voted for Barack Obama just because he was black. However, if not a good reason, it was a good choice, even if not a good reason. President Obama has kept us out of Syria and other places that Hillary would have had us in. If I had been of voting age, I'd have no doubt voted for Ms. Chisholm. I can't vote for Hillary Clinton. It's depressing she's been chosen well beforehand to be the Democratic nominee. I mentioned Ms. Chisholm, Shirley Chisholm, having said that if I had been of age back in that day when Shirley Chisholm was the first woman and black woman to run for the presidency of this country, if I had been of voting age, I would have voted for her. Yes, I would have, because she at least was, she had character. She had integrity. She had those things about her. And also she was black, but that's neither here nor there that she was black, because, I mean, as quiet as it is kept, black people do have and always have had the capacity for thought. I'm a case in point concerning that. Anyway, so yes, Ms. Chisholm I would have voted for. And then again, even now, if this other woman had been running instead of Hillary, Elizabeth Warren, if she had run, I would have voted for her, definitely, but not Hillary Clinton. Because Elizabeth Warren also is a woman who comes off as someone having character, having integrity. Yes. But however, at this point, her character and integrity has been a bit impugned by her backing Hillary Clinton as opposed to Bernie Sanders. But no doubt it was a political move, a political calculation. But aside from that, politics aside, this is what Bernie Sanders was talking against. He was talking against the same old political shenanigans as usual. And among Well, that, among other things, is why I was really, really listening to Bernie Sanders and really hoping that Bernie Sanders would get the Democratic nomination. However, it's not over yet. Bernie Sanders has not thrown in the towel, not exactly. I mean, as much as the media pundits are putting forth that he has or that he should, he has not as of yet. So therefore, in my opinion, there's still hope. But right now, I'll be honest and let people know who are listening. Right now, because Hillary Clinton seemingly has the Democratic nomination, I am depressed behind this fact. Yes, I am. I don't even like seeing her face on my TV screen. It's on the same level as seeing Donald Trump. It's on the same level. I won't say it's really any different, but it's on the same level. I don't like seeing either one of them on my TV screen. Okay, so moving right along from that, having read what Dr. Stacey Patton has said about this year's election and about how she this year is not going to be conned or cajoled or pushed into the position of voting for the lesser evil. Because the question it can be, why vote for evil anyway? There's got to be another choice. You know, the old thing about damned if I do, damned if I don't. A long time ago, I had mentally evolved to realize that even there, damned if I do, damned if I don't, there's a choice there. And that choice is, outside that choice, is to choose which is the better way to be damned, basically. And then in this instance, choosing for neither is the better way to be damned. But I'm just saying, that's how I go at this point in time with this political process. But also, moving right along, just this week, we had another police person there in Baltimore having been, well, acquitted or let off from charges of having been responsible for the death of Freddie Gray. We remember Freddie Gray, do we not? That black kid in Baltimore who was put in the back of a police van and driven willy-nilly, so to speak, and who knows, bumping all around and being jostled about in the back of that police van, and somehow or another ended up having a broken neck and a broken spleen, or, you know, whatever that is. I mean, that bone that goes down your back, that was all messed up, and eventually it led to his demise. And thus far, so far, not a cop, not a police person has been held responsible for that kid's death. Not one thus far, so far. Anyway, concerning that, Dr. Patton, again, has something to say about that. Dr. Patton had written on one of her Facebook statuses, she said, on the heels of the failure to convict in the Freddie Gray case and the case of the cops in Texas, now she's linking these two. Listen to what Dr. Stacey Patton says here. I'm going to start from the beginning. She says, on the heels of the failure to convict in the Freddie Gray case and the case of the cop in Texas who slammed a teenage girl on the ground at a pool party and sat his nasty man twat on her back, some folks are really wondering why over and over again the legal system won't punish these cops. Remember, she says, you are living in a country that reportedly lynched around 4,000 black folk between 1877 and 1950 alone. These crimes largely went unpunished. While public lynching is no longer in vogue, the police and the legal system replaced them and are now empowered to use state-sanctioned violence as a form of racial terrorism and control. We can even say intimidation as well. Racial terrorism and control. She writes further, the agents of white supremacy will almost always be acquitted. Every now and then, we might taste simple justice with a rare conviction. But those are usually some kind of political dodge and only help to obscure the overtness of the ongoing genocidal violence that goes down under the guise of bureaucracy. Pretty strong words, but most true words. I guess we can say the truth is often strong to those who don't want to hear it or those who don't want to believe it. But indeed, pretty strong words, very powerful words that Dr. Patton has written there. But yet, just saying, concerning the media, we don't hear this in our media, unfortunately. I guess it's in a real sense, it's only via internet that we do hear such voices as Dr. Patton speaking on such issues and speaking about racism and racial oppression and all these other negatives. But still on the Freddie Gray thing, another Facebook friend of mine had written, he said, "I see the second officer got cleared of murder charges of Freddie Gray. The bad thing about this whole situation is the people at least thought that there was a chance of some form of justice. But it seems that it's business as usual. My personal opinion is this: if you do not understand white supremacy, what it is and how it works, everything you think you understand will only confuse you." And he said that's a quote from Dr. Francis Cress Wellesley, who died recently this year, it was. But all the while, just saying, I hadn't known that she had made that quote. But right now, we've got to go into our first music break. I have overtalked my stint, so to speak. And our first song is going to be from Lydia Caesar, entitled Lifted. Here we go.
Lydia Caesar, got a remix for you. Yeah. Every time you come around, I get so lifted. Ooh, 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 ooh. Got to admit, I'm addicted. Ooh, 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 ooh. Cause you like a hit of the best lift. Boy, you got that ooh, 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 ooh. When I need a fix, you pull out some tricks. And I be like, ooh, 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 ooh. My man, he got the golden gloves, the Midas touch, loving like ooh. He know I can never get enough, my favorite drug, overdosing on you. Cause men, I want the ordinary love, oh no. I went and found my diamond in the rough, now he's mine. He ain't falling, stand up loving me the way, and I know to make him feel some type of way. Euphoria, I want more, yeah. Baby, take me every higher. Every time you come around, I get so lifted, yeah. Lifted. Got to admit, I'm addicted, baby. For a sweet lips, the way we kiss, body like ooh. Strung out on his fingertips, with every grip, I fall deeper into you. Cause men, I want the ordinary love, oh no. I went and found my diamond in the rough, now he's mine. He ain't falling, stand up loving me the way, and I know to make him feel some type of way. Every time you come around, I get so lifted, ooh, 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 ooh. To admit I'm addicted, ooh, 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 ooh. Cause you like a hit of the best lift. Boy, you got the ooh, 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 ooh. When I need a fix, you pull out some tricks, and I be like, ooh, 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 ooh.
Welcome back to Andy Morrell Dollhouse Radio. You're listening to Urban Society. I'm your host, James A. Jones. And we just heard the song from Lydia Caesar, entitled Lifted. And as I said, welcome back. And let me give out our calling number here. Our calling number here is area code 646-595-4038. Again, that's area code 646-595-4038. Call in and let's talk about these issues. I know they're on my mind. I'm sure they don't necessarily have to be on your mind as well, but they're on my mind. And if you're listening, I guess they're on your mind as well. And you may want to chime into the conversation and give your own opinion about what you think on these issues that I'm bringing up. But going back into what I was saying before I went into the music break with Lydia Caesar's song Lifted, I was talking about Dr. Francis Cress Wellesley, who had said, so it said now, that if you do not understand white supremacy, what it is and how it works, everything you think you understand will only confuse you. I was going to say that for the longest, I have been thinking that this other person, whose name is Neely Fuller, I have thought that he had coined that phrase, because basically another Facebook friend of mine was constantly posting that particular quotation. And I just assumed that he had said that. But then again, after Dr. Francis Cress Welsling had passed, in reading, I had read that the two of them were friends. They knew each other. And Dr. Francis Cress Welsling, she really respected Neely Fuller's opinions and ideas. I happen to have seen a video of this guy Neely Fuller talking, and I thought he was out there. I mean, really out there. I mean, like they say, oppression oppresses. I felt that oppression has really did him a job. But God bless him. At least he's conscious of what we're going through. But his ideas in terms of responding to racial oppression and racial ostracism, out there, really out there. Well, anyway, moving right along. Oh, no. Something I had wanted to say about the Freddie Gray situation on my own was that it does seem to me now that because no prosecution, well, they were prosecuted, but then the prosecution was let up. But what I'm coming to say is that by that Marilyn Mosby person there in Baltimore, the DA, charging these guys, I thought, yeah, I mean, you know, this is a good thing. But now it seems to me that she only charged them to diffuse a volatile situation that was occurring there in Baltimore, because evidently at that point in time, the people in Baltimore had it. I mean, they had it. And then plus some other things that had gone down in the midst of that situation, people of Baltimore had it. So I guess she felt that something has to be done, so she did what she did, which was put up, at this point, I'm going to say, the farce of charging these police persons with the crime of having killed Freddie Gray. Well, not killed him per se, at least having had been responsible for his death. I mean, she didn't have to do any of that, but she did. She did. And that was like a cathartic thing to have been done. It helped take pressure off the minds of the people there in Baltimore and the minds of people throughout the country about that situation. So it was a help, but then again, it didn't really help because nothing has been done again. So moving right along, on to something somewhat lighter, but still the same thing. Something is amiss. Okay, I happen to have, I'll just read off what I had written, because I did in fact post this on Facebook as well. I had written that I watched the NBA Finals last week. I'm like Stephen Curry's wife. I too believe those games are fixed, especially the Finals. I was of this opinion ever since the Chicago Bulls beat the team Karl Malone played for during that Finals game back in the late 90s or early 2000s. Yes, I never will forget that game. The situation was that they were at the opposite end of the Bulls' basket, and the ball had been shot off and in the air, and it was a missed shot. Karl Malone got the rebound, and supposedly Michael Jordan D'd him up so well that he knocked the ball out of Malone's hand and dribbled back down court and made a basket and put the Bulls up by one and won the game. I mean, it was phenomenal, yes, but really, was Michael Jordan really that good? Was his defense really that good? Because if it was, that can only mean that Karl Malone, being a professional ball player, he wasn't that good also. And if he wasn't that good, what the fuck is he doing being a fucking professional ball player? I know. Calm down to cursing. Okay. But in having said that, I'm saying that with respect also. Can I say it that way? With respect to Stephen Curry. I mean, I don't really – I'll put it this way. Okay, I don't really watch sports. But whenever I hear of a phenomenal player playing the game, when I hear of this, I look in on that to see what these people are talking about. And that was the situation with Steph Curry. I began to hear a lot of people talking about Steph Curry, how good he was and all those things. I said, let me look in on him the same way I had heard previously about Michael Jordan. I looked in on him and said, damn, this guy is good. He's phenomenal. Now, Steph Curry, going back to him quickly. When I saw him play for the first time and seeing the way he drained three-point shots after three-point shots, Michael Jordan couldn't make shots like that so consecutively. But Steph Curry and his other teammate, Thomas or Thompson, whatever his name was, the other light-skinned guy, they were draining threes. And I'll tell you, like I said, I'm not really a sports enthusiast, but I will watch sports if I hear of someone phenomenal playing the game, because I like phenomenalities. I like phenomena. Yes, I do. It's just awesome to watch. You know, perfection in motion, stuff like that. Anyway, I'll put it this way. As I was saying, the first time I had ever seen somebody shoot like that was a friend of mine's brother, who also was a friend of mine. We, at this time, were in high school. Me and my friend were in high school. His brother was in junior high. On an occasion, he asked me if I wanted to come watch his brother play basketball on the basketball team, junior high basketball team. I said, oh, yeah, why not? I mean, what the hell? Let's go. So I went with him to see his brother play. I was amazed at this guy's ability to play, number one, and number two, his ability to shoot that ball. And the way he did at that time, I'm talking far back as what, the mid-70s. I had never seen this before. This guy, he would take basically one step over the half-court line, throw it up, it went in every time. I said, wow. And matter of fact, back then I was smoking pot and I was high as a kite, but I got sober watching that game. Yes, I did. I couldn't believe that he could shoot like that. But anyway, coming back to Steph Curry and that guy Thompson or Thomas, whatever his name is, they were shooting like him. And these guys are professionals today. And I said, wow, look at these dudes. So therefore, I tried to make it a point to watch, you know, more of the finals than what I actually didn't, because I'd be busy, you know. I'd have time to watch all the games, but I did watch the last game. I had watched one of their games going into the finals when they came to be playing the Cleveland Cavaliers, where LeBron James is. I seen the game that they played to to allow them to play the Cleveland Cavaliers. I saw that game, you know, to make them a part of the actual finals. And I said, wow, these guys are good. And then, you know, I didn't watch the only game of the finals, well, the seven-game finals that I watched was the last one. I missed all the other ones. But what I seen, I said, what the fuck is this? I mean, Stephon Curry missed every shot, and the other guy, Thompson, missed every shot, and the only guy who was making three-pointers was some guy I'd never seen before. I said, what is... Anyway, they lost. I'm thinking, what the hell is this? How could this happen? But I guess a lot of people say, well, they were just off, or Stephon was being D'd up so tight, and his other player, Thomas or Thompson, was being D'd up as well. But what about the other guy? I don't know. But anyway, well, Golden State didn't win the finals. Game is fixed. No two, three ways about it. The game was fixed. And then some of my Facebook friends had responded by saying that they are decided, that is, these games are decided by the NBA and the NFL. They are fixed. They also determine who plays who. That's possible, too. And then another Facebook friend that said, it's been fixed ever since Magic got a rebound in Game 7, down one against Detroit, with 29 seconds to go, then passed the ball to Mark Aguirre to give the bad boys their final NBA championship. Been fixed for a while, he said. So you see, I'm not the only one who thinks the games are fixed. I'm not the only one, nor is Stephon Curry's wife the one who thinks these games are fixed. But okay, moving right along from that. Okay, I have something else here that I want to read into the show, again from Dr. Stacey Patton. This pertains to what she calls the victimizer suffers as much as his or her victim. In other words, there is this ideology, if we can say it like that, or mindset or psychological construction that says and believes that someone who victimizes someone in any way, shape, or form, suffers as much as that person whom they are victimizing. That's a mindset that's currently in vogue. And matter of fact, has been around for a long time. Anyway, this is what Dr. Stacey Patton has written here. She said, let me get it right here. No, basically, that's what Dr. Stacey Patton was writing about. I didn't write down what she had written. I just wrote down my response because she was talking into that issue and not being in agreement with it, as I am not also in agreement with that kind of mindset that believes that a victimizer suffers as much as their victim. In other words, what this mindset preaches, or its doctrine is, case in point, that a rapist suffers as much as his rape victim, having been raped. That is, the victimizer of a rapist is hurt by raping his victim as much as the victim being raped is hurt. Does anybody believe that? I know. It's asinine. This shit is ludicrous. I mean, well, let me just read what I had written in response to that. I had written that this reminds me of when I was perusing the history of our ancestors' enslavement in this country. I had read how some were convinced that those who enslaved were just as victimized as those who were enslaved. I had to chuckle when I read that. I kept reading, though. Really, the enslavers suffered as much as the enslaved? This is what a intellectual collaborative understanding does in juxtaposition. Let me get that word right. No. Okay. I had wrote, really, the enslavers suffer as much as the enslaved? This is what a intellectual collaborative understanding does in juxtaposing the misery of the enslaved with that of the supposed misery of the enslaver. Just saying, if the slave master had a bad back with bad back pains, it wasn't the same as when the slave would have a bad back with back pains. Yet they both had bad backs and back pain. A good analysis would be to discern how the conditions of the bad back with back pains came about. An intellectual collaborative understanding would of necessity stop at the back pains and understand that the master and slave suffer just alike with back pains. Thus, an intellectual collaborative understanding would and does of necessity support the status quo of slavery in this scenario. Thus, as it was in the years gone by, historically speaking, so it is today. The psychology of understanding the victimizer isn't new. It was back there when our ancestors were used as animals and thought of as animals. It was the poor human white man and woman who were in danger of being animalized by dealing with animals. Pity and understanding must be mustered for that economically trapped white man and woman. Then I had said, this is me trying to use satire or trying to be flippant. Really, the victimized just as much as his or her victim, FOH, which is abbreviation for fuck out of here. I don't buy that brand of psychology. I just don't. No, I just don't buy that kind of psychology. And then again, even worse than that, in relation to, but I'm going to hold that thought because we are now going to go into our second music break. And this is going to be from a song from Mila J. Just saying, I'm saying her name now as Mila, whereas before I was saying Mila, because I didn't know it was pronounced Mila. I now know her name is pronounced Mila J because I happen to have seen a Facebook posting of her yesterday giving a live interview. And I even seen what she looks. She's very pretty as well. She didn't do any singing. She was only being asked questions and answering questions asked of her. But now I know that her name isn't Mila, but Mila. And also, she's part Japanese. I didn't know that either. I mean, how would I know? I haven't done any reading up on her, but now there's a chance that I just might do some reading up on her. But anyway, as I was saying, now we're going to go to a song from Mila J entitled Diamonds, featuring Drake and Future from the CoverGirl mixtape. So here we go, and we'll be right back. Welcome back to Indie Morell Dollhouse Radio. You're listening to Urban Society. I'm your host, James A. Jones. Okay, we just heard a song from Mila J entitled Diamonds, featuring Drake and Future from the CoverGirl mixtape. Our caller number here is area code 646-595-4038. Again, that's area code 646-595-4038. And I'm still on the issue of something that Dr. Stacy Patton had written concerning the idea that victimizers are just as victimized by their victimization of their victim. This shit is ludicrous. It's ludicrous. I said ludicrous, but that's not a word, but it's just the same thing. It is ludicrous and it is ridiculous, but people can come up with stuff like that. I mean, they, long story. Anyway, in reference to that, recently, last week, I have seen a Facebook posting of a judge in the Dial and Roof case. Remember him? He's that white racist guy who killed 9 black people in that church down in Charleston, South Carolina. And in essence, what this judge was saying was in sync with that kind of mindset that Dr. Stacy Patton had described, and which I had responded to by having written what I just read into the show. Because in essence, he was saying that although this guy, Dylan Roof, committed this heinous act, that his parents, Dylan Roof's parents, should be given some kind of consideration and sympathy. Like, as if they're not responsible for what their son did, so they too should be given the understanding, same understanding, that the victims of this tragedy are given. In other words, that Dylan Roof's parents ought to be seen as victims also in this situation. Some judge down in South Carolina actually said that, actually was saying that. I couldn't believe it. Well, I could believe it, yes, but that's just a manner of speaking. I couldn't believe it. Well, yes, I could believe it because I heard him say it. But it was, oh, man, outrageous. Anyway, in reference to that, what I had wrote to that Facebook posting was, that's a mindset that some have. Evidently, that judge does. My mind isn't like this. The killer of those people in that church caused the spotlight to be on his own family. Actually, the question should be asked, what kind of people are his parents? Do they adhere to the same mindset as their son? That's a good question. If so, why should we consider them at all? Then too, even if their mindset is different than their son's, our thoughts should be uppermost on the victims and the family members who had to bury members of their own family due to this tragedy. But that judge, the way he was talking, isn't the way I was just talking. But I was talking like that because of the way my mind constructs itself to put forth words that I'm trying to explain myself with. Just as that judge's mind put forth words that his mind had constructed to explain himself with. I guess we're both strange, because our words are so divergent. They're not even compatible. They're incongruent. Another issue, though. That's a long story. Long story. Anyway, moving right along. Something else that had been posted on Facebook from a Facebook friend. It was a posting of some kind of police person committing some kind of outrage on some black person. And my Facebook friend had asked, you know, basically, what kind of world. And also, she has just had a child also. Her child is maybe 3 or 4 months old, if 3 or 4 months old at this point. She was asking, what kind of world has she brought her child in? And what I have responded to that, I responded to her. I said, basically, the same one you and I were brought into, but with the internet, the chances for ignorance are greatly reduced. Encyclopedias help those who had and used them back in the day. Today, many more of us have access to the internet than those of us who had access to just one volume of any set of encyclopedias. Thus, our world is bound to be much safer than the one we were born into. Just saying, then too, that's an opinion. Then I had said that, basically, I was responding to her question about what kind of world has she brought her son into. And then also I had written something else as well. What I had written, I forget right now what that video was about, but it was something egregious that this police person had done to that person. Anyway, I had wrote this as well in response. I had said that it's never thought by most that this could happen to me too. For sure, we're all in this thing called life, individually or collectively. What happens to one happens to all, existentially speaking. But also, let me see. I wanted to go into something else because I also have this on the page. But yes, I guess I will, because the show didn't air last week. Situations had come up. But anyway, no doubt the past weeks we've heard. Well, first off, we heard about the child who fell into the gorilla's den, as I'll call it. God bless, the child was rescued, didn't die, but yet the parents of that child were really castigated. I'll use that word. Yes, they were really castigated and villainized. Like, what kind of parents are they to allow their child to fall into a gorilla's den? They must not have been watching him. Da 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 da. All that stuff. You know, but hey, I mean, like is said, we can try to be as safe as we try to be, but stuff happens. You know, we can't prepare for every contingency because stuff just happened. However, just recently after that, there in Florida, some child, toddler, also, an alligator got him. I mean, an alligator got him. But yet, and unfortunately, the young child, the toddler, he was killed. The alligator actually got him, took him underwater, and from what I understand, that's what alligators do to their prey. I guess because he was prey to that alligator. He was just something to eat. That's what that small toddler was, unfortunately. But anyway, they found the child. I mean, the child was gone, deceased. He said he was crushed to death, basically, by the jaws of the alligator, and drowned as well. But anyway, I'm saying all that to say that these parents of that child wasn't castigated, wasn't vilified as those black parents were. But yet and still, that's just the way it wasn't. The media didn't come on them, nor did social media get on them the way they got on these black parents. And it was really, really, it was just awful. I mean, the whole situation was just awful. You know, it was just a tragedy that was tragic. But in all that, you know, there was a difference in treatment. That's what really got to me. That like, you know, the difference, the way the media had treated that black family and that black child, and then that white family and their white child. But again, that's the way our society is. That's the nature of racism. The media is racist. That's why it was done the way it was, or wasn't done the way it wasn't done. It's just outrageous, outrageous, just out MFing outrageous. But also, it was good also that, to back up a bit, it was also good that eventually, matter of fact, with that black family, charges were even filed, referred against that black family. However, charges were dropped. And then even in the midst of dropping the charges, you had, I think it either was the police chief or the DA in that area. He had even, I guess, to explain to people why the charges were dropped. He gave a quasi so-called explanation, which I felt was very racist, well, very racist-minded. He had said, well, look, people, in a sense, he said, well, look, people, it wasn't like she was in the bathroom smoking crack. I mean, really? Really? Did he have to say that? I mean, what was in his mind that he had to say that? That what, all black people smoke crack? Or he just felt that for the public with whom he was really reaching out to, he wanted to let them know, like, calm down. It's not like this black mother was in the bathroom smoking crack and her child fell into a gorilla's den. What the F? I mean, come on. It's too much. This is why I don't. When I heard that, I thought, my goodness, I slapped my forehead like that might do what? Something? I don't know. But we just do those things. I don't know. But anyway, I had to do that when I heard this guy say that. I just happened to have been in front of a TV at the workplace when he came out and said that dumb stuff. Anyway, but the double standard was there. But it's worse than a double standard and less than a double standard, and it's nastier than a double standard. That's just a catchphrase word, a double standard. But anyway, so moving right along. Also, you know, a lot of miscellaneous articles tonight because, you know, Facebook, I'm on there often because a lot of times, like I've said before on the show, that's where I get a lot of my news from. That's my news feed, so to speak, because I don't watch a lot of TV news in this day. I mean, I just don't. I mean, because the political, I mean, it's a long story. But, no, let me just say, I mean, just saying, when President Obama was first elected president back in 2008, I thought then, because I consider myself a conscious individual, and I like to know what's going on in my society, things around me, and, you know, what people are talking about, you know, societally speaking, politically speaking. And when President Obama became president initially, I thought, well, I'm going to be watching news a lot lately just to see him. But the way I saw the media portraying President Obama, it turned me off completely. It turned me off completely. And what turned me off more than just the way they were reporting him was the fact that President Obama wasn't pushing back on things they were doing to him. Because I know I would have been. I know I would have been, just so. I mean, even that guy that stood up when he was given the State of the Union or some kind of speech in the halls of Congress or that room where they be at, and some guy stood up and called, he would just shout out, "You a liar." Hey, I mean, come on. I mean, there are ways to address that guy at that point in time. President Obama should have done that. I mean, decorum is decorum, but then again, he was what's the good word for that? He was out of decorum by saying that, so therefore President Obama should have, at that point in time, put him back in decorum, so to speak, by speaking on him, but he didn't. And then again, even after that and more things, President Obama never pushed back on the racism that he was facing. Even now, he does not. Even with the Supreme Court nominee that he put forward and these idiots talking about, they're not even going to give him a vote because it's not in the Constitution or it goes against constitutional precedent. And it's known that it's not like that. That's racism up in his face. Ah, and he's talking about it's just political, what do they call it, political partisanship. It's more than that and less than that and more egregious than that. Yes, it is. I can't stand it. Well, that's neither here nor there, but it is somewhere. Yes, it is. But okay, coming up on like a minute to the next music break, but I'm going to go on into this other issue here that I was talking about before I went off on a rant. Yeah, this Facebook posting, all right, it's like 25 after the hour now, so I'm going to go into our next music break and come back and go into this next miscellaneous issue. And our next song, again, is going to be from Mila J., entitled Don't, and also from the CoverGirl mixtape. And we'll be right back.
Don't play with her, don't be dishonest. Ay. Still not understanding this logic. Ay. I'm back and I'm better. I want you bad as ever. Don't let me just let up. I wanna give you better. Baby, it's whatever. Somebody gotta step up. Gonna let somebody soon next up. Be damn if I let them catch up. It's easy to see that you're fed up. I am on a whole nother level. Girl, he only fought you over cause you let him. Fucking girl, I guess he didn't know any better. Girl, that man didn't show any effort. Do all I can just to show you you're special. Certain it's your love that holds me together. Lately you say he been killing the vibe. Gotta be sick of this guy. Pull up skirt, get in the right. Left hand is steering, the other is gripping your thighs. Light up a spliff and get high. Shawty, you deserve what you been missing. Looking at you, I'm thinking he must be tripping. Play this song for him, I'm just listening.
Keep it 100, man, ain't no shame. The way he put it down, he deserve everything. Oh, baby, I swear he holds it down. Yeah, he holds it now. So down.
Welcome back to Indy Morrell Dollhouse Radio. You're listening to Urban Society. I'm your host, James A. Jones. Our caller number here is area code 646-595-4038. Again, that's area code 646-595-4038. And we just heard another song from Mila J entitled Don't from the CoverGirl mixtape. Excuse me. And I was going into this other article, but I had digressed on into something different concerning why I don't watch much news lately or TV lately. But anyway, this next miscellaneous article that I have here is from a Facebook. It's on a Facebook posting that a Facebook friend of mine had posted concerning some girl. It was a video posting. Some girl, a pretty girl, was talking about how, you know, people today even, still don't use protection when having sex. I mean, even one night stands, just an occasional fling. And this girl was talking about how she has, you know, as they say in the vernacular of the streets, this girl had the monster. I mean, she had actual AIDS, so she said. And she said this guy met her, or she met this guy, and he was talking to her, and they did what they did. And she said that she offered him the condom, but he like, no, I don't need that. And, you know, hey, and now he got it because he didn't want to use protection. Anyway, excuse me, in reference to that posting, you know, well, talking about myself here, some personal stuff, you know, I mean, what happened, and It was a learning experience for me, even. What I had wrote in reference to that posting, that video, was I had heard it said, it's that real good stuff that burns you. Yep, I learned the hard way. It's true. Yet, that was before I was a believer in condoms. Today, I believe in condoms religiously. I don't go out without them. On an occasion, after my conversion, I happened to have gone out without them. An opportunity presented itself. I didn't have what I needed. I tried to improvise. I figured cellophane might work. No, it didn't seem safe enough for either of us. And I said further that have been wanting this woman for a long time too. I'm still feeling for her also. However, forethought caused her and I to forego that moment. Then I wrote, yes, fellas, and ladies too. Get in the habit of wrapping it up. Indeed, Yeah, you got to do that in these days because stuff is out there. I was a non-believer until I was made to be a believer. I believe that now. Like I said, I do not go out without a condom. I keep it in my car. Yes, I do. Yes, I do. Because I drive. Now, before I was driving, I walked around with the backpack thing, and I kept it in my backpack. Yes, I did. But like I said, that one night I happened to have not. I just didn't take any. I don't know why. I don't know what I thought. Because I thought about it as I was leaving. I said, I'll leave him. And the situation presented itself. But now, because I've made a believer, I knew, no. Don't be stupid. I mean, you never know. I mean, for her safety as well as my safety. You know, I mean, we don't test ourselves every day. Not saying that we should. But we do get tested when we do get tested. But, hey, you never know. So, I mean, you know, for just safety in general, be safe. Anyway, moving right along into another miscellaneous article. I got a lot of these tonight, I guess, because a backup from the other week when I wasn't on. Anyway, another miscellaneous article here is concerning, I just wrote down here, work ethic or lack thereof. And what I had written here was that, excuse me, I had written here, I really don't get it. Those who, while in or at the workplace, do as little as possible or nothing at all, but are at the workplace a half hour or more before work starts and then leave as early as they can. However, I console myself by being mindful that some things are not to be understood. Such things are to be recognized and then dealt with from that perspective, i.e., not to be understood. Yes, I said yes, they are there before work officially starts, sitting there doing nothing. They wait there till work officially starts so they can officially begin to do nothing. Out motherfucking rages. Then too, we all know individuals, as I've described, as we know individuals who can't find work and are looking for work, while people, as I've described, are in or at the workplace taking up space and drawing a paycheck. Such is life, unfortunately. Things change, though. Yes, I had to write that. I posted that on Facebook as one of my Facebook statuses, just thinking about stuff like that. And like just saying, even concerning something like that, like I said, people like that, I guess they don't have what's called a work ethic. But I guess, I mean, people, I guess I have that. I have a work ethic. In other words, basically you have a work ethic if you're at work and you do work. Yeah. Anyway, like I said, you do have a work ethic if you are at work and you do work. Basically, that's having a work ethic. And some people just don't have a work ethic. They don't. I don't know what the hell they have, but then again, that's I don't know what it is. I just don't know. I don't know. But anyway, in reference to that, I recall when I wasn't in the position at the workplace where I am now, I'm still in the same workplace that I've been in since 2008, but I'm in a different position now. And I'm in more like a administrative capacity, unlike before I was in a janitorial type capacity. Anyway, when I was in that work environment, because I work, I have that work ethic, and it was noticed, I was given a certain building to work out of, you know, to clean. And we got 8 hours there. You know, hey, so we got to do something within the 8-hour time period, if nothing else but just to make time go. And if you are just doing nothing else but to make time go, that also means that you're doing something. Anyway, a guy who had been there for a while, a long time he had been there, he had heard that I was given this building to work out of. So he knew me, you know, because I met him there, and he came to me and said, yo, James. He said, I hear that you got this building here. I said, yeah. He said, well, come on, let me show you where to go hide at. I said, what, go hide? I said, no, man, no thank you. You hear what I just said? This guy was coming to me. He thought he was doing me a favor to come to me to allow him. How can I put this? See, it's asinine. It's stupid. Let me try to put it in words. This guy came to me asking me to allow him to show me to go somewhere to hide for 8 hours instead of working for 8 hours. I mean, no, I can't do that. Just go sit down for 8 hours. And then again, especially in a place where, well, I'd rather not be at. I mean, because who wants to go to work? I mean, that's another issue. But then again, there are nuances to that question that I just posed. But it's whatever. But anyway, I told him, no, man, no thank you. That's all right, because I just couldn't picture me going somewhere and hiding for 8 hours as he did and as he does. You know, because just saying, I'm the kind of guy, you know, let's say I know me, if I were like that to have taken him up on his offer to go somewhere and hide for 8 hours, it just picture me. I could picture myself, you know, sitting somewhere. But me being me, who knows? I just might get a thought, you know, sitting down like that, doing nothing and just sitting, you know, the brain is moving. The brain is turning. Who knows? The brain might churn out a thought. And I might say, oh, shit. Let me go write this thought down. And I no doubt wouldn't have a pencil or pen on me. And the pencil or pen would be in my locker or in my bag somewhere, not with me. And I can imagine me rushing out to go get a pen or pencil to write this thought down and run right into the boss. And he might say, yo, where the hell are you coming from? I never knew that door was there. What could I say? So, no, I'm not like that. But, again, work ethic. Some have it, some don't. Amazing. Actually amazing. And then also I have some Facebook friends who have responded to that by saying, one has said, this is what gets me. He said, this is what gets me. Let's say you're a good worker and hard worker, but you're late or tardy. But you get more work done than the ones always early or on time. That's easy to answer. And basically, that's only because the people who are there on time and early, they're not doing anything. That's why you can get more work done. Another Facebook friend has said, truth is stranger than fiction, but it is because fiction is obliged to stick to possibilities. Truth isn't. And then someone else has said, I constantly have to refer back to this quote. Well, the same guy has said, I constantly have to refer back to this quote when observing human behavior. Wanting to understand seems to be a curse. And he said, SMDH, shaking my damn head. And actually, I know this guy. He and I used to work together. that's a long story. Anyway, to him, I had responded back by saying, indeed, truth is something that just is, minus our understanding of it or not. Some things are not to be understood. They are to be realized what's true is to be realized, understanding it or without understanding it. It is. In most of our environments, having an inquiring mind does seem to be a curse. Having understanding seems to be a curse as well. And I had another friend who just went out there. He said, work you mean plantation for them that in debt and will die in the same position? Well, that's something different. And moving right along. Okay, let's see here. I got something here on Donald Trump that I wanted to read out here, and I guess I will. It says here, Donald Trump in the aftermath of the Orlando killings. Now, that was something there also. I mean, that situation that took place there in Florida like 2 weeks ago, this guy goes into this nightclub, happened to have been a gay nightclub, and just shot up everybody. Outrageous. But I say now like I always do say, people like that, they ought to just go on and take themselves out and leave other people alone. Whatever is their problem, whatever it is, they ought to leave other people alone. If they are like that, they ought to just go on and kill themselves and, again, leave other people the hell alone. But, no, this guy couldn't do that. And then now, you know, it's been on the news now for at least 2 weeks now, this situation here. And, you know, there's a way to talk about it and, again, a way not. Well, there's a way to talk about it or more so ways to talk about it. There are positive ways to talk about it and then ways to just obfuscate the issue. I mean, talk about the issue, but at the same time, talk within the issue that's not even an issue, or to bring up other issues within the issue that could have been left alone. Like a case in point. I mean, right now, again, I mean, because of this guy. No, let me say this part first concerning that Orlando shooter. Okay, automatically it said, because he was a Muslim and is from Afghanistan, automatically is considered a terrorist act. Just so. That's the media for you. It's a terrorist act because he was from Afghanistan and a Muslim. Or just a Muslim, period. Didn't have to be from Afghanistan, just being a Muslim. Okay? And then they tell us that he had pledged allegiance to ISIS. But at the same time, this does not mean that ISIS has accepted his pledge. Let's put it like that. This doesn't mean that in any way ISIS itself or Al-Qaeda was in any way involved with this issue. It only means, as they said, that this guy pledged allegiance to these or this group. I mean, for all we know, he could have just, as I said before, he could have just said that in order to make what he did something other than what it is or wasn't. And in my opinion, he was just somebody who was crazy and just went the fuck off, basically. And then again, I mean, I had said initially that based upon his picture, one of his pictures that he had posted, he looked like he himself was gay. And it turned out that he was. He was gay. He had frequented that club. It's said now often. And then at the same time, they want to say that he had a anti-gay bias, which made him choose that club. I mean, if he's gay, what kind of anti-gay bias might that be? If anything, he has some kind of grudge against someone in particular in that club and then just took that grudge out on everybody whom came in his view. You know, but that's that. And then again, you know, they also now want to bring up, you know, the issue of gun control within this issue. Some people saying yes, yes, yes. Some people saying no, 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 no. Has nothing to do with it. Some people saying yes, it does have something to do with it concerning, you know, gun control. Not gun control per se, but just the fact of limiting the ability for people to acquire an automatic weapon like that guy had and like other shooters have had. Some say that the weapon this guy used was an AR-15, an automatic rifle. I mean, it fires, you know, rapidly and repeatedly, and it holds a clip of about, well, it has a clip that might hold like what, 15 or 30 rounds, so it was said, and it's just pop, 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 like that, not pop, 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 like that, and it's not semi-automatic. Let me back up. They say the AR-15 is a semi-automatic rifle, not automatic in the sense that it just goes, pow, that's automatic. Period. Like the M16, actually, the military rifle M16 that's used currently, it has two selectors. It has semi and automatic. Semi is what this guy had. This AR-15 can fire like the M16 on semi. Semi is pop, 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 like that. And the AR-15 is that. And the AR-15, in my opinion, if it's not a military weapon, it should be a military weapon. And further, in my thinking, the AR-15 would have been a military weapon if the military would have accepted it. In other words, I'm saying further that the AR-15 probably had been designed for the military, but the military didn't need it. Why wouldn't the military need an AR-15? Because they have the M16. The M16 fires automatic and semi-automatic. Whereas the AR-15 only fires semi-automatic, it'll be redundant. What good would that be? The M16 is still the prevailing military, American military weapon. But then again, I mean, but as I'm saying there, I do think concerning, you know, like some kind of gun control legislation, that the AR-15 should be outlawed for civilians. I mean, just the manufacturing of it should be stopped, because it can't be sold to the military because the military doesn't want it because it's not needed. It's redundant. And because it can't be sold to the military, now the gun manufacturers feel that they can and want to sell it to civilians. And for what purpose? What purpose? Honestly. So in other words, all I'm saying there is that, you know, concerning gun control, the AR-15 should be banned. And then again, they're talking about banning all automatic weapons. I'm, well, one thing at a time. I'll say get the AR-15 banned And then again, even concerning that weapon, the AR-15, some people are saying that it wasn't even an AR-15 that this idiot had in that club. Some people say that like it was a machine gun type weapon. So therefore, if they're saying machine gun, that weapon more so than not did fire automatic, not semi, but automatic. Pow! Just like that. Not pop, 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 but pow! All those bullets expended. And if you don't know, know, because I know, having been in the military, number one, the M16 rifle, those bullets are large. Those bullets are bigger than the bullets that come out of a regular handgun, or even, I guess I would say, a 9mm or 45. Those rifle bullets are big. They are big. And like I guess, well, not guess, but I guess when they hit you, you are in trouble. And more so than not, you are dead. I mean, depending upon where that bullet hits you, and if you're not dead, it is doing some serious damage to your body, wherever it does hit you. So those semi-automatic rifles, they ought to be banned. They ought to be banned, especially the AR-15 and any other kind of automatic rifle that is being mass-produced for civilians. No, not needed, not necessary. But like someone has said, having posted on my Facebook feed has said that if black people were all of a sudden to start, you know, buying weapons and getting weapons from these gun shows and gun stores, the NRA, they want to make some gun legislation then with their racist asses. Believe me. And I believe what that person had posted. Yes, if black people I'm not even talking about Puerto Ricans or Chinese or Mexicans. I'm talking about black people. If black people start all of a sudden to want to buy weapons because of the Second Amendment, believe me, the Second Amendment would be seriously changed, or if not that, the NRA would definitely want some changes in that Second Amendment, believe me. But that's the way it is. And having said all that, I was going to read off also into the show, but like before I do that, I have overspoken the allotted, how can I put it, I have overspoken the music break that we were supposed to have taken, so we're going to go on and take that music break now. And we're going to hear another song from Mila J entitled Friends. So this is Mila J, her song called Friends from the CoverGirl mixtape, and we'll be right back.
Playing it cool, you were playing. I know I wasn't the only one you messed with, but it was good, I was on to the next one. I remember when you started checking up, boy, you must have learned your lesson. Trying to tell me how I always was a blessing. Stayed in the LAS, but you guessed it. Yeah, I gotcha. Too bad I'm vibing, nigga, I'll be fine without you. Guess you found out all the mother hoes was about shit, and now you're gonna waste your time chasing me. Nigga, please, ain't no need to waste your time being caught up over me. Nigga, please, I don't wanna hear about it. You can tell your friends about it.
Go tell your friends about it.
Now you wishing you was with me, living life so tough. Even all your friends that I was cool with, they don't know that you be on that bullshit. Even though they didn't think that I was stupid, you did. But I ain't tripping, just don't push it. It's cool, I'ma focus on my vision. Cause you only get one pass and you use it. You use it, amusement. So funny how you used to say, have it over. So stupid, and it's so amusing. Your effort is so useless, and now you're gonna waste your time chasing me. Nigga, please, ain't no need to waste your time being caught up over me. Nigga, please, I don't wanna hear.
Welcome back to India Morel Dollhouse Radio. You're listening to Urban Society. I'm your host, James A. Jones. We just heard a song from Mila J entitled Friends. And our caller number here is area code 646-595-4038. Again, that's area code 646-595-4038. Excuse me. And when I last left off, I was talking about the Orlando situation that had taken place and about the shooter and all the things that pertain, well, some of the things that are being said about him, and also the was talking about the gun issue, the AR-15 in particular. Okay, but moving right along, I had wanted to read into the show something concerning Donald Trump. Okay, let me see which one do I have here first. Okay. All right, what I have here is, it says here, I had written this here based upon something I had heard through the media about the Orlando shooting and Donald Trump's response to it. I had written here that the media is still reporting on the dumb shit Donald Trump is saying. Trump says racial profiling would be a good policy to combat racism. Well, I had written further, well, based upon Trump's idea, I've got an idea too. What about racist profiling, i.e., that is, considering every white person a racist, especially based upon what whites do or don't do in combating racism wherever is perceived? The media is also reporting another Trump asinine idea. The best way to stop a lunatic gun person is for every person to be armed. Actually, to the average person of low intelligence, that would be the best idea. Arm everybody. Imagine that. But just saying, Trump has said that if the people in that club had been armed, there would have been less casualties and or fatalities. But even to that, the head of the NRA had at least the intelligence to speak up and say, I don't think so, because firearms and alcohol don't mix. I laugh, but it's not really funny, but it's just laughable. He had to say that, and it's true. Alcohol and firearms don't mix. In other words, a fool and alcohol don't mix. So you can imagine a fool, firearms, and alcohol, definitely not a mix. That's volatile, actually. But let Trump tell it, if people in that club had been armed while drinking, it would have been a whole lot less casualties and or fatalities. Donald Trump, and people are voting for him. He is now the Republican front runner. But I tell you people, still, he is not going to win the presidency of this country. And it's up in doubt as to if Hillary Clinton will even be the president. It's still a possibility, slim and long, that Bernie Sanders just might be the front runner from the Democratic Party. He just might be. I hope he will be. I know that's grasping at straws, but what else can we grasp for in a situation like this? Anyway, something else that I had written down here about Donald Trump as well, Donald Trump and the media. I had said, talking about Trump in the media gives him credibility, even if he isn't present. Something isn't right with this. Watching Joy Reid on MSNBC today discuss how Mitch McConnell dodged saying Donald Trump isn't fit to be president. Well, Trump's unfitness to be president isn't news to anybody. Then, too, someone saying he's unfit for the presidency isn't news either. Even if someone does say he's fit for the presidency, isn't newsworthy. It's stupidity, but not exactly newsworthy. How MF-ingrageous, really. But again, I had also heard today, who was that guy, Dan Rather, he also had said something I had said, and that was, you know, people talk about, you know, the rise of Trump. How could it, the phenomenal rise of Donald Trump. But this guy, Dan Rather, a news commentator now for decades, had said that in a real sense, our news media, I keep saying our, but better to say the news media, is complicit in the rise of Donald Trump. Just as in a real sense, we could say the media in Germany was complicit with the rise of Adolf Hitler. if they had a media like that, well, their minister of propaganda, you know, the propaganda ministry is complicit, was complicit with the rise of Hitler, just as our propaganda, we could say our media, our ministry of propaganda, being the media, it is complicit with the rise of Donald Trump. It is helping him rise up in the eyes of any American by having him on TV all day, every day. And even if he's not on TV, slow down, James. Even if he's not on TV, you got people still talking about the nonsense he says. Give us a break. Let us talk about something more intelligent than anything Donald Trump could ever utter. Because he can't utter nothing intelligent because he's not intelligent, basically. And it's a truism. I have to say this. It's a truism that there are always more dummies than there are intelligent people in any setting. It's just true like that. And I'm saying that to say that the reason why Donald Trump does have such a mass following is because there are more ignorant people in America than there are intelligent people. But at the same time, that doesn't mean that he will win the nomination for the presidency of this country. It doesn't mean that. Because a person may be ignorant, that don't mean they're stupid. There's a difference. Well, anyway, moving right along. Okay, I was just told we have like 90 seconds left. But anyway, well, the articles that we didn't get to, we will get to them next week. I'm sorry for that. But I have just thought to myself as I'm reading these articles, these miscellaneous articles, I think that as of next week, I'm going to start doing something different. And what that difference will be is the topics that I read off as to be the main topics of the show, I'm going to start doing those first. And then these miscellaneous articles, I'm going to read those after we go into our main topics. You see, it takes time to realize things. And at this time, I have realized that, or this, that henceforth, that's what I'm going to do. The main issues, the main topics of the show, I'm going to talk on them firstly, and the miscellaneous issues, if we have time, then we're going to go into those. But I just wanted to throw that out there. So in the meantime, we have only seconds left, so let us go out with a song by our producer. She sings also, India Morrell. It's called You Don't Deserve Me. So here we go, and Urban Society signing off till next week.
You.